Again, we're very thankful for the presence of each and every one that are here today. We want to continue just simply doing a little bit of study from the passages of Scripture that we've been doing within our daily reading. And I pray that you're keeping up with that. I know some of you have mentioned you're a little bit behind, and I just want to encourage you to continue doing your reading and try to stay up as much as possible. And we're going to do some lessons that will be out of those scripture readings each week. This morning, we want to focus on calming the storm. We appreciate the passage that our brother just read. This will be our text for this morning. You'll also find this text is mentioned over in Luke 8, 22 through 25, and also in Matthew 8, 23 through 27. We find here a picture of Christ Jesus crossing over the Sea of Galilee. It's been a very long day for Christ Jesus. There's been a lot of things that have been going on with him as he was teaching and as he was sharing parables. We see that he is simply exhausted from a long day in which he had had. This is a great story because we find the love of God, the love of Christ that we can see in here. To me, it's one of the most amazing questions that have ever been asked of our Lord and Savior. Care not, do you not care that we are perishing? But yet we find Christ Jesus as he's sleeping through a storm that simply have left those on the boat scared to death and fearful of their lives. Jesus, who we see here, is able to calm the storm that they are about to see here upon the Sea of Galilee. Calming storms within our life. And I think we're going to find and talk about a relevance that we see here today of all of us have storms that come upon us, and yet we find that there's one that is able to calm those, and that is Christ Jesus. We see here our story starts out on that same day. That long day that Jesus had, he'd been exhausted, that he said to those that he were with, let us cross over to the other side. They're going to go over the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee is the lowest freshwater sea on the earth. We also see that it's the second lowest of all seas, only second to the Dead Sea. And certainly we know that the Dead Sea is not a freshwater sea, that it is full of salt. Sea of Galilee, 700 feet below sea level. The Jordan, River Jordan, flows through the Sea of Galilee. Comes into the Sea of Galilee from the north and exits from the Sea of Galilee to the south. We also see in the Gospel of Luke that he referred to this sea as Lake Gennesaret. Well, we find this sea often gets very boisterous, often have storms that just come upon this sea, and we find them even yet today. That if you would go and you would look up the Sea of Galilee upon your computer or within some kind of site, you would see they would probably have pictures of this sea. And at a moment's notice, the sea waves can become very high. You see these storms, they come up almost immediately. And what happens is there's air that comes down from the mountains that surrounds the sea, and they hit the air that they're on the sea, and we simply see that they have these storms that are there. Well, Jesus, as he is going out, we find that this sea here is going to get very turbulent. In the Life of Christ commentary, it says here, the Sea of Galilee is subject to sudden storms. It is 700 feet below sea level and is surrounded by mountainous terrain. When cool air pours down the mountainsides onto the lake, in a matter of moments, the calm surface can be turned into a turbulent mass of frothing waves. Some in the boat were fishermen and had no doubt seen many storms on the sea. The fact that these were frightened indicates that this was no ordinary tempest. This is a sea unlike what they had seen before. This surging storm, as it's arising, they weren't used to seeing this, and so it was. They were afraid and they were fearful for their life. So they are there within the sea. They left the multitude. We see that there was this boat and there were boats that around them, and this windstorm came and the waves beat into the boat so that the boat was filling. We all know that you cannot sail a boat that is full of water. It's going to sink. I remember my grandfather talking about in World War II as he was in the Navy, some of the waves that would come upon the ocean, and he would talk about how frightening those could be. How high those waves would come and they would crash down into the boat. The storm that we see here upon the Sea of Galilee left those that were questioning their life. Simply wondering, are we going to get through this storm? And keep in mind, to go from one side of the Sea of Galilee to the other is no extraordinarily long trip. Probably takes 3 or 4 hours to go from one side to the other. But yet, because of this sea, the boat is filling up with water. I'm sure the waves were high. And it was in that moment that they took a look at this and said, we're going to die. We are going to die. You know, in life, our storms often arise very quickly, don't they? You know, we find that we can go through our life so well, and on a given day, our life can be turned upside down. We go through life, and on a given day, we get a phone call, or we hear from somebody. Something has gone wrong, and we ourselves find ourselves, figuratively speaking, in that boat where the waves are high, the winds are howling, the water is coming into our boat, and we have absolutely no idea what the future is going to hold. How am I going to get through this situation? And there were the disciples thinking the same thing. You know, it's important to point out that this wouldn't have been the first storm that these sailors would have seen. And yet, this is the one storm that scared them. This is the one storm that bothered them. You know, my guess is there have been storms that come up in the life of these disciples, in the life of these sailors, that they had confidence that they could overcome. They had confidence that their boat was not going to be capsized. Confidence that all the water was not going to come in the boat and sink it. But simply they were going to overcome what was in front of them. But this storm was different. This storm had caused these men to have an incredibly bleak outlook for the future. This storm had caused these men to simply wonder, is my time now at hand? And as we go through life, we experience the storms of life. We experience those times where the waves are extremely high and we shouldn't be shocked when they come. Because in our life we know and we understand there's going to be good times and there's going to be hard times. There's going to be bad times. There will be those days that the sun shines bright and those days in which the rain absolutely pours. Jesus told us in John 16 and 33, these things I've spoken to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Jesus overcame the world, yet going through all the things that he had to endure. Did he have a storm in his life? You bet. But he kept a goal in mind and he kept the will of his Father in thought. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 4, 8 and 9 said, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Regardless of what storms come upon us in life, we can still be the servant of Christ. We can still have the light that can shine so that others can see. And in Psalm 107:29, he calms the storm so that its waves are still. Storms come in our life. Storms come for us in those moments we think, how in the world am I going to get through this? How am I going to overcome? And when those storms come in our life, sometimes I wonder if figuratively speaking, we see the Savior and think he's sleeping. Which the concept in my mind, if the storm is so bad, how is it that Jesus is on this boat sleeping? According to Life of Christ commentary, two questions were asked, or two thoughts were brought out. The first one was simply that we find Jesus a sleeping Savior. That Jesus was a man who was exhausted. I believe that's true. But maybe a better way to take a look at that is an exhausted man who trusts in his God. Think of the power that Jesus had. Think of the trust that he had in his Father. And even what he was going to face and what he was going to endure. He found his Father to be faithful of all those things that he did. Christ needed a break. Boy, in this passage of Scripture here, I think we see the human side of Christ. He'd had a big day, and remember that Christ was human, just like you and I. Think of the idea that Christ would get tired, Christ would get irritable. Christ would need time away from all the multitudes. And so it was that he goes into the boat, and he goes into the stern or the rear of the boat, and he goes to sleep. And while all this is going on round about him, there he is sleeping. Do you ever wonder, does Jesus sleep? Do you ever wonder, is Jesus aware of what's going on right now? Do you ever wonder, does Jesus really see what is going on in my life? The storms that may be coming down upon me, is he aware? Hebrews chapter 1. God, at various times and in various ways, spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by his power of his word, when he by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, and having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. I want you to know where Jesus is right now. He's on the right hand of God. And Jesus is aware of our every thought. Jesus is aware of our every motion. And Jesus is aware of simply our being. You know, with the power that Jesus possesses, is there anything that is too large for him to do? With the power that Jesus would have possessed, is there anything that was not attainable? Keep in mind, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So in the beginning, when all those things were spoken into existence, Christ was there. Has the storm in our life gotten so big that we wonder, is Christ there? Is Christ aware? Does Christ know what is going on from us, with us? Psalm 139, 7 and 8 says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there." Christ knows. He is around. He sees. He knows. He understands. Where we are, there he is. Romans 8:37 and 38. "Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." Listen to this. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What is it that can separate us from God's love? Nothing. God loves you and I. the surging storm comes and there's the sleeping Savior. But what about these scared sailors? There's another entire lesson within this than what we are covering today. But those disciples, those sailors, asked Christ Jesus. They woke him up. He was asleep on a pillow. And they woke him up and they said, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Think of the implication of that. Do you not care that we are perishing? I want to point out and say that right here, there's a real life event that's going on. Are storms real? You bet you they're real. Are they dangerous? Yes. Can people lose their life in these storms? Yes. Teacher, do you care not that we are perishing? How often in life do we find when things go wrong, when things go bad, that people will shout out and say, "God, where were you? God, how did you let this happen?" And yet so many times the responsibility comes back on the person. Does God care that we're perishing? Yes. God cared in this storm, and I will say that He cares in real life that people are perishing. That just as there was power to save these men from that great storm, there is power to save men from their sins. Why do we not have more people realizing that they are perishing? And that there is a Savior that can give them life. Jesus, who will soon in His mission, I say soon, in a very short period of time, a couple, 3 years, will face the death of the cross. Do you not care that we are perishing? Boy, Christ did care. Because He died so that they could live. But we find here that these sailors were scared to death. Think of the old prophet Isaiah who said in 41:10, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Philippians 4:6-7. "Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." Be anxious for nothing. And am I guilty? Yeah, I'm guilty as I go through life that when these waves in my life get huge and they get big and they're coming into my figurative ship, coming into my figurative boat, and I'm scared and I don't know what's going to happen, yes, I struggle with being anxious for nothing. And I need to trust that I have a God that will guard my heart and guard my mind in Christ Jesus. Be anxious for nothing. We don't have a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, as the Apostle Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:7. The storms of life are going to come, and friends, there are those times in which we are going to be scared. But I guarantee you one thing, there's a Savior. There's a Savior that will deliver. As I say that, will he deliver from every tragedy or problem that will happen in this life? Maybe not. We're all going to face death. But we have a Savior that will deliver us from the second death. And if we have delivery from the second death, what is there to fear? I cannot avoid this life, what is in this life, or those things that are going to come in this life. Now, of course, there are some stupid things that I could go do that wouldn't be avoiding some things that could get me in trouble. But you know, the natural consequence of this life is I'm going to die. I can't avoid it. But I don't have to die the second death. I don't have to be scared. I don't have to be afraid, because there is a Savior. There was a surging storm. There was a sleeping Savior. There were these scared sailors. And when we come to the end of this story, there's a silenced sea. Jesus arose and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. I want to pause here for just a moment. Because one of the things I've thought about this is the fact that there was wind and there was waves. There was wind and there was waves. And Jesus arose and he said, "Peace be still." And there was no more wind. And there was also no more waves. Anybody that has ever spent time around water, if you've spent time around a river or the sea or the ocean or a lake, you ever notice when a ship goes by or a boat goes by and you get the ripple? On the river, the barge goes by and you can hear the water as it slaps against the bank. And it slaps. And it slaps. And it slaps. You know, the water just doesn't immediately calm down. But here Jesus said, "Peace and be still." And there was calm of wind and there was calm of wave. It just wasn't a calm. There was a great calm. That it went from something in which these men were feared for their life to something that was absolutely perfect as far as the water condition would be. Jesus said to them, "Why are you so fearful? Why is it that you have no faith? Why is it that you have no faith?" You know, the things that these disciples had witnessed, the things that they had heard, the things that they had seen. Why have you no faith? Why have you no faith? I pray for the faith of every single one of us in here, that our faith does not fail, that our faith only grows. And that when we are faced in life with storms, that our faith will not shrink back. That we will trust in a Savior who can calm the storms in our life. But most importantly, we will trust in a Savior who can give us life eternal. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Psalm 27:1. The Apostle Peter said, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you." Teacher, carest thou not that we're perishing? Carest thou not? Cast your care upon God, because He cares for you. Prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 40:31, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Waiting on the Lord. You know, sometimes we wait, don't we? We wait while the storm is outrageous and the water and the waves are coming in the boat. And we wait. Wait in the Lord. Our strength will be renewed. Mount up with wings like eagles. Do you know what an eagle does when a storm comes? An eagle will rise above the storm. Literally rise above the storm and can stay above that storm for days. Let us be like eagles to rise above the storm and trust in the God Almighty who knows of our everything and can calm the storms in our life if it be His will. But in the hereafter can give us peace forevermore. There's never been a man like Christ Jesus that has walked here upon the earth. There's never been a man that's walked upon water. God and Jesus with all power, with all might, control all things in the environment. You ever wonder about the difference between yourself and God? Next time it's storming real bad and the wind's blowing, step out on your front porch and say, "Peace be still." My guess is there'll be a big clap of thunder and you can get on back inside. It is the power of God, the power of Christ. And boy, what a powerful, powerful God that we serve. He will calm the storms in our life. My friends, if you're here this morning and you're not a New Testament Christian, I want you to know that not only does Jesus care, Jesus died upon the cross so that you could have that hope of eternal life. That in the storms that we have in life, we can know with assurance that He is there with us. If you believe that Christ Jesus is the Son of God and you're willing to confess your faith before men, repenting of your sins, changing your life, we'll bury you in the watery grave of baptism into the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. You'll rise to walk in the newness of life, of peace, of hope, of comfort, of knowing that Christ Jesus is there with you as you live this life. And if you are faithful to Him, He is faithful to you, that He will be with you. And we face the storms within our life, and when we come to the end of our way, we can know there's a great crown that awaits those that are faithful. If you've once taken those steps, but the storms in your life have left you with little faith, have left you with erring within your life, maybe you need the prayers of this congregation. Maybe you need encouragement from us. I want to ask you, come and get that encouragement. We'll pray with you. We'll pray with you. But I just pray that we've been strengthened from our study this morning. Let your faith grow. Because we serve a powerful, powerful God. And He is with those that follow Him. Won't you come as together we stand and as we sing.
Try.
27th and 28th. It'll be at the Career Technology Center. I'll hang this up back on the bulletin if anybody's interested in taking a look at it. And
it's for everybody. It's the last time they had one at the fairgrounds, we thought it was just the people that was involved in the youth with Python here. But it's for everybody.
Okay.
And the preacher Smith, he's going, that was preaching at Python at that time, he will have the service, but we will have food. It's all free. The food, you can just give a donation, you know, to help with expenses. Okay. But it's for everybody, and it'll be well worth your time.
Okay. The young and the young at heart. Mm-hmm. All right. So, well, if there's nothing else, we're going to sing another selection. Brother Ralph, and we'll be dismissed in prayer. I want to remind everybody at 6:30 tonight, and we got one more message.
We sing happy birthday to Vicki and Billy.
Okay, we'll do that after the closing prayer. Happy birthday, guys. After the closing prayer, we'll sing happy birthday.
Open your hymnbook to number 302. We'll sing the first verse. 302. First hymn. 302.
Bless me. Father, we thank you for the young men and women of the military that stand on foreign soil today in harm's way for our freedom. We pray, God, if it be thy will, watch over them and bring them back home to their families and friends. But Father, of all the things that we have to be thankful for, the greatest gift of all is our precious Son, Jesus Christ, came and died for our sins. And Father, we pray that you'll forgive us of our sins, count us worthy of these blessings. For it's in Jesus Christ, most holy name we pray. And amen.
Okay. Here, I don't know.